What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Big Q representing Team Boy TV. This is Sunday's best NFL podcast for NFL Week 7 in the NFL. So, you know, we pretty much got through Week 6 almost incident-free. Almost. It was, you know, a couple things went down, a couple things that just were celebrating, and a couple things that left me scratching my head just a little bit. Didn't quite understand a couple different things. Well, let's start with some of the bright spots, right? The winless New York Giants finally got them a win, man, and it was in pretty good fashion. I actually liked some of the stuff that I saw out of the New York Giants, and they put, you know, when they put a W on their record sheet for the year, which is great. So that is good. You know, nobody was talking about hanging their coach Joe Judge out to dry, nothing like that. I think that was a pretty decent situation. Another winless team got off the snide as well. That was the Atlanta Falcons. They win, you know, which is cool, you know. That leaves only the Jets as the team that still have yet to win a game. It looks like the trend for the NFL is, yo, you can't win a game, you're having trouble putting W's on the board, then we need to fire the coach and we immediately get a win, right? So, Raheem Morris steps up for the Atlanta Falcons, get a dub, and, Romeo Crennel, you know, a couple weeks ago, stepped up for the Houston. Unfortunately, the Texans didn't win the game this week, but they did win the game directly after, you know, firing their coach. As far as, you know, the Giants go, they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to fire nobody, but they got a dub anyway, which is great. I think that was great. That is always good to see. The Giants got a lot of things to work on. They will get better, you know. They play in a division right now that is going through a whole lot of turmoil. So they will, in turn, maybe the team that emerged from that mess. We'll see how that all plays out with the Dallas Cowboys situation. The Philadelphia Eagles got their own little personal situation. There is a situation going on, you know, in Washington. They don't even have an identity at the moment. You know, situations like that. So there are things, you know, that are in New York's favor to emerge, you know, as one of the favorites in the division, you know, so on and so forth. Now, on to the other things, like the Dallas Cowboys are still, you know, in a downward spiral. Now, listen, we know a couple weeks ago they lost their quarterback. That was brutal. And, you know, much as, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Dallas Cowboys, I did not like to see what happened with Dak Prescott. And, but ever since then, they named Andy Dalton the starter. And there's been a lot of controversy about that. They go up against the, Arizona Cardinals and the young Kyler Murray and those running backs and that, Cardinals defense and Buda Baker and Patrick Peterson. And, you know, they had a field day. It was just, you know, the defense is atrocious. There is no excuse for what's going on in Dallas on defense. But, you know, I would think, okay, because, you know, you look at a Dak Prescott, who's been in the league for, you know, X amount of years. You bring in a serviceable guy like Andy Dalton, who's, you know, he's been around for a while. He's had a pretty decent record in the NFL, you know, during his stint. I mean, he had his own issues about, you know, advancing in the playoffs and things like that. But he's a proven winner, unlike, you know, my brother JB last night on Team Boy TV last night. He was a proven loser. I think he's a proven winner. But even with that, even with, you know, the offensive weapons that they possess, you know, you got one of the best running backs in the league, and Ezekiel Elliott can't keep the ball off the ground. We can't find Amari Cooper for whatever reason. He can't, you know, he's not really, you know, contributing much to the offense these days. CeeDee Lamb is a bright spot. Gallup is a bright spot. But, you know, for whatever reason, Andy Dalton is not really being able to take advantage of what's going on there. And then, of course, you know, they can't score any points. Then, you know, they can't stop anybody on, you know, on defense. So that's a recipe for disaster. And that's why you get shut out the way you do. And that kind of thing. So it's crazy. You know, they're in a bad spot, you know. But, again, they have, issues that I think stem from the top of the organization. And it may take some serious things to go down before we finally get to get those things worked out, because it's up there with in the air with Jerry Jones breathe. You know, he's a king, so you know what he says goes, and as long as he's making the rules, everybody else is gonna have to kind of deal with it, and it is what it is. And the whole Dak Prescott and betting on himself and getting hurt, being on the franchise tag is a story that we've talked about numerous times in sports media about, and that's why cats do not like to play their contracts out. And it's crazy because stuff like this happens, right? And then, of course, there's another disappointing thing that happened this week, and it was the Cleveland Browns got smoked by the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, I expected a little bit more out of that game than I got. And, Baker Mayfield, now, granted, there was some things saying that maybe he wasn't playing at 100%. I'm also reading that Jarvis Landry comes out and said he's been playing with a broken rib for the past couple of weeks or whatever. So you got two hobbling dudes on the sideline or whatever. And, this is around the time of year, and that situation what happens where you get Odell Beckham, going into his modes and that kind of thing. So, when you look at what's happening in Cleveland, I am stunned. And, and the fellas was giving me a hard time because they couldn't believe that I was in a state of disbelief of what was going on in Cleveland. As it sits, the Cleveland Browns sit at 4-2, which is pretty decent for being in the AFC North. They've been playing pretty good, which, you got the Steelers who are undefeated. We got a situation going on this week that might change that. You got the Ravens who playing very well. I think they've only lost like one game. You know what I mean? And then there's the Browns that are right there in the mix. And of course, you can make excuses for the Cincinnati Bengals with their young quarterback and new coach and all that good stuff. So things, are looking decent for the Cleveland Browns, in my opinion, right? So they sit at 4-2 in the hunt to break an 18-year playoff drought. It's the longest current famine in the NFL. So Buffalo Bills got off the snide a couple years ago when they finally broke their little streak or whatever. So despite the positives that got the Browns to a winning record for the first time since 2014, dark clouds continue to hover over Cleveland after a week 6, 38-7 beatdown by the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was brutal. It was everything that, people were saying negatively about the quarterback play of Baker Mayfield and the ability of the wide receivers in Cleveland. It's hard to kind of deny the tape. It's hard to deny the tape. And if it's on tape, then everybody can see it. I think the Cleveland defense, even though they didn't perform very well in this particular game, I think, Myles Garrett is still a superstar in the making. And that defense is not, they are mid-tier defense and they can only get better. I think they are trending in the right direction. It's the offense that's trending in the wrong direction. Here's a quote from one Baker Mayfield, right, when he was talking to the Cleveland Plains dealer. He was like, yeah, I said a feeling throughout the building after that loss. 4-2 has never felt so much like 0-6 before. That's because we have a very high expectations for ourselves. We're eager to get back to work and get out there and fix the problems that we know are within our own control, right? So one of the issues, and JB keeps saying this, repeatedly on Team Boy TV Live, is that, they can't only, only offense they can generate is when the wide receivers throw the ball to each other. And people are starting to say that Baker Mayfield's ball skills are not as great as once thought, right? So I don't know about that. I still think Baker Mayfield is a mid-tier quarterback, upper mid-tier quarterback. I think he's like a number 12, number 13 type, quarterback. I think so, right? He said, sure, the Browns might be good enough to beat the bottom dwellers of the NFL, but against good teams like division rivals Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they get blown out of the water. Odell Beckham had much to say about it, and of course, we were talking about Odell Beckham and his personality breakdowns or whatever And here it goes. He's like, I'm pissed. You know, at this point, I don't really care to keep trying to make myself look like a good guy to the world and all that expletive. He's tired of losing, and he's tired of losing the good teams. Wait, you know, this is what I say to you, Odell, when you make statements like that to the media, right? Who are you blaming, right? You know what I'm saying? And what exactly do you mean is you don't want to keep trying to make himself like a good guy? What does that mean, Odell, right? I don't understand what you mean by that quote. The only person that can change what's going on, you know, especially as far as Odell's play and that wide receiver play, you know, and not being, you know, 11 catches through three games, you know, weird stuff like that, you know, him and Baker got to get on the same page. You know, something has to happen. You know, we know that Odell Beckham is a big play machine. If he's given the opportunities, but is he taking advantage of opportunities? I don't know. I don't know if he's playing full speed. I don't know. You know, I just seeing his production when he was playing with a quarterback like Eli Manning or whatever, we just saw so much explosiveness out of this guy. And now, you know, it's kind of dispatched. I don't know if he's, you know, and I'm not saying that he out there, you know, not going 100%, but it feel like it. And the stats show that. That's what the stats are saying to me when I look at his numbers, right? So you know, there's that, you know, and you know, and I don't want to be the one to say it, but you know, look at the numbers. They are what they are, right? You know, so you know, that whole deal, you know, again, you know, Baker apparently wasn't 100%. You know, we said he was dealing with a rib injury, played poorly versus Pittsburgh, taking four sacks, throwing two ghastly picks, and generating just 119 yards with one touchdown before being benched for the final period of the blowout. You know, he was like, I have to have a short memory playing quarterback. That's for the good and the bad, but especially the bad. You know, getting back to the basics, finding completions. It's tough when you're in a momentum swing like that to get back on track. But at this position, you have to be able to do that. It's about finding completions to get back to basics. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be enough. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just the Cleveland Browns. There's a few teams in the NFL that are in weird places, right? The Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if their situation is as weird as Cleveland, but maybe it is. Because, you know, when you look at the Cleveland team, you just kind of, you know, open the folder and you kind of look at it and you look at the personnel and you look at the ability of the players that they have on their team. You look at the scheme, you know, everything looks good. Maybe the weak link is the quarterback. I don't know. I don't want to be the one to say that, but you know, something is wrong and we have to figure out what that is. You know, Carolina's another team that's in a very odd spot because going into the season, you know, with them cleaning house, you know, we know about this story situation with Cam Newton, and he got ejected or, you know, jettisoned away from Carolina up to New England, you know, and all the nonsense behind that. You know, Ron Rivera, you know, he gets, you know, unceremoniously, departed from the team as well. He took his second year quarterback Kyle Allen with him, you know, and that kind of thing, and along with, I think he took Thomas Davis with him too as well, but the coaches, we got a new coaching staff, a new quarterback situation because they bring in a free agent in Teddy Bridgewater from the New Orleans Saints, who had been dealing with the story that everybody knew about it. It's been fully documented, you know, his, you know, knee injury or whatever. And, you know, it took all them years for him to come back. And, you know, he finally comes back and, you know, and he has a fantastic little run, 5-game stretch in New Orleans when Breeze had that thumb injury last year, you know. So, and then while they were trying to figure out the coaching situation in Carolina, well, you know, they decided, well, under, first of all, you know, let's back up a taste. There's new ownership in Carolina. So this is like the third season of the new owner in Carolina. So he basically wanted to get his own stuff, right? So, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do with the quarterback. So they figured out at the last minute, you know, they were done with Cam, made that move for Teddy Bridgewater. You know, we had to figure out what we're going to do at wide receiver. You know, the only constant, only thing that we got that's left over from the old regime is Christian McCaffrey, who, you know, oddly enough, has been explicitly missing from this equation for the last, I think ever since week one, right? You know what I mean? So he's not even been around. So Carolina don't even look like the Carolina Panthers team that we know and love. And their issues have been very, very, very obvious. Like this whole red zone situation, it kind of boggles my mind a little bit because, you know, I watched, and granted, you know, different teams have different skill sets and different weapons and so on and so forth. But watching what Teddy was able to do in New Orleans, right, and then kind of seeing what he's kind of doing, you know, here in Carolina is a little weird to me. Like, we're not really seeing a whole lot of, deep balls. We're not seeing a whole lot of deep balls. But, you know, the thing that kind of struggles with me, you know, that I struggle with the most is like how the things fizzle out once we get to the red zone. In between the 20s, Carolina has like got to be the worst red zone team in the NFL. They have to be. And even without Christian McCaffrey, Mike Davis, you know, second string running back Mike Davis has been doing a serviceable bang up job. You would think since they're running they're running the same type, you know, offense as they would with Christian McCaffrey. Maybe Davis is not as prolific in the passing game as a Christian McCaffrey would have been. So maybe that's what's missing down there in the red zone. I'm willing to bet that's what it is. I'm willing to bet that if you take that option of Christian McCaffrey in the passing game out of that red zone offense, that's what's causing the problems, right? And the lack of tight end play. So we're kind of used to seeing, you know, tight end like Greg Olsen come up big down there in the red zone, you know, under Cam and Ron. And we're not really seeing that either. We're not getting a whole lot of, big play or red zone performance out of the tight ends. So, you know, Ian Thomas, you know, man hurts. And not really, you know, performing at that level that I feel comfortable with, you know what I mean? Like, so it's a combination of a bunch of things. I think, you know, the minimalizing of the tight end play, not having a Christian McCaffrey as a passing option in the red zone, and just not being as aggressive as Cam would have been, because, you know, I mean, we did see Teddy run for a red zone scamper, you know, I think it was like in, you know, week three or week four, somewhere around in there. And that was great. You know what I mean? That was great. But, you know, it's not consistent. We saw it one time. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. You know, he looked pretty confident when I saw him making the run, but we haven't really seen much of that. And I ain't saying, you know, you need to put your quarterback out there like that, or whatever. You know, that's what put Cam in the situation that he ended up in the first place. But at the same time, I think if you have options in the red zone, you need to use every option you got. And if there are certain chess pieces that have been removed from the table, you have to figure out what you have left and make the most of that. There has to be a way to generate score touchdowns in the red zone for Carolina. They need to fix that. You know what I mean? So like that is a huge thing for them. You know, we saw the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers got smacked around by Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, and for me, you know, just watching that game, you know, it's almost like the script was flipped for whatever reason. So through the first three or four weeks, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers pretty much dominated. They were smoking people for no reason or whatever, right? And on at the same time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were not completely dominating, right? You know, going into like, you know, being tied up at week five or week six with the rest of the division at 3-2, they weren't, you know, showing up as world beaters or nothing like that. You know what I mean? They really weren't. And for them to kind of like, you know, just completely smack the Packers around, showing defensive dominance was wild to me, you know? I just wasn't really expecting that, you know. Seeing the Bucks kind of rise to their occasion defensively and seeing the Packers shrink offensively was completely unexpected to me. You know, and maybe my football IQ ain't as sharp as the next cat, but I feel like I'm pretty good at, you know, observing the game. But you know, that one took me by surprise. I wasn't really I wasn't really expecting to see that, you know. But, you know, again, I don't know if that hurts Green Bay all that much. You know, now their division is it's a two team race. You know, you got Chicago 5-1, and you got Green Bay 5-1. They're gonna be the two teams that gonna have to battle it out. I just Detroit might make a push, but it ain't gonna be nothing serious. And the Vikings, you know, they're in a little bit of flux themselves, so they're still trying to, you know, search for their identity. And I think they need to really be looking into this next. Well, I know they paid Kirk Cousins a whole lot of money, but, you know, for whatever reason, I think he one of them dudes that's becoming a liability. And it's pretty sad. I like the underdog story of Kirk Cousins and whatnot, but, you know, I just don't think that he is the guy. You know, for, and then, you know, they messed around and let you know, one of the best playmakers in Stephon Diggs go to Buffalo and so on, so, which is a bad move, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is, right? And so, you know, moving on, you know, there's also, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, who, you know, for a couple weeks, they kind of were, you know, kind of performing a little bit, you know, below average. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't look like the Chiefs that we kind of know and love, but I won't be fooled by that, because I had a feeling they will round back into form. You know what I mean? They will get themselves back to where they need to be. You know, there are teams to look out for, though. There is a team in the AFC South that is causing so much drama. It's causing so many problems for so many teams. And I don't know why everybody acting like it's a surprise, but, you know, they never see it coming. Even though we saw a little bit of this, we saw the start of this at the end of last season. But the Tennessee Titans, between Derrick Henry and, you know, he's becoming legendary. Ain't no doubt about that, right? He's becoming one of them legendary running backs, and that is a good thing. But the most surprising thing, and the thing that, you know, that I find the most entertaining about this whole entire thing is the maturation and the growth of one Ryan Tannehill. Never was a fan of the guy in Miami. But for whatever reason, him and Vrabel and the offensive, you know, coordinator they got up there, well, you know, in Tennessee, it's working. And, you know, and he's become, you know, a lot more aggressive and, you know, and more confident in what he's doing. You know, and I mean, you got to be confident when you got a beast of a running back like, you know, like Derrick Henry or whatever, you know. So, you know, it's kind of like Dak was, you know, in the beginning, where, you know, when Elliott was beasting the way he was, when you got that kind of firepower behind you, you know, it's easy to be confident, you know. But Tennessee is causing problems. You know what I mean? They're causing problems. But, you know, it's one of the things that I say about Tennessee, and it's just like with Baltimore. Baltimore's another team where they cause all these issues during the regular season, but then, you know, in critical moments in postseason play, things get a little bit out of control, and they kind of can't get a rein on it, can't get a grip on it, and I don't know if it's, you know, shrinking under the bright lights. I don't want to say that. I don't know what happens, but teams like Baltimore and teams like Tennessee, for whatever reason, in the biggest possible scenarios, they don't quite get it done, you know. And so I worry about that. So, you know, we know that Tennessee is probably going to secure a spot in the playoffs, just like we think that Baltimore is probably more than likely going to secure a spot in the playoffs. But what happens, you know, when they meet in the playoffs or whatever, you know? And, you know, and so tonight, tonight's game, well, not tonight's game, this week's game between the Tennessee Titans and the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be a preview into what's going to happen. You know, early next year, because these teams will meet again in the playoffs, and, you know, this game tonight is going to let us know kind of how, what we can expect in a few months, right? So, you know, that's how I kind of feel about that. You know, as far as everything that's going on in the league right now, I mean, there's the trade stuff that's going on right now. Baltimore is kind of like writing checks. It's a Dez Bryant thing. He's in Baltimore, you know, having a workout, and they look like they ready to bring him in if everything works out in his physical or whatever. That is wild. They also made another trade with Cleveland or with Minnesota. I'm sorry, that kind of thing. So, you know, Baltimore is making moves in, you know, before the trade deadline. Antonio Brown news is out there. Rumors were that the Baltimore was interested in him, but then of course the real interest is coming out of Seattle and Pete Carroll, and it looked like they are going to extend that offer to Antonio Brown. So we'll see what Brown and Bryant re-entering the NFL, if that's going to shake things up a little bit. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. You know what I'm saying? And I take a quick look at the standings here in the AFC. Well, before I look at that, there is one thing I do want to talk about. There is the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tua Tagovailoa situation. And, I want to speak on this really, really quickly. So we discussed it, on the live show last night, and it was weird. So, just to run it back, Ryan Fitzpatrick been doing Ryan Fitzpatrick stuff. He's been spectacular. He's been, that quality leader, locker room guy. When you need him on the field, he's been, doing his thing. Not a whole lot of, errant, crazy mistakes. Been doing his job as a game manager and a motivator of the other guys. He's been fantastic in that regard, in my opinion. But then we saw on Sunday that the Dolphins were putting a beating on somebody. I forget who it was. Smoking them, shutting them out. And so you see this moment, right? And so it's and we love seeing moments like this in sports, right? Where sometimes, like, I remember a couple years ago, it was a moment where we saw Teddy Bridgewater coming to the game for the first time after that injury, and everybody was like, oh, it was such a heartwarming, situation. And so, we love seeing stuff like that. And then in this case, it was the young guy who everybody was like, was surprised. First of all, he didn't go number one overall in the draft, but he was the hottest guy in last year's draft. Everybody was talking about, Tua. And in this moment, we see Ryan Fitzpatrick graciously give up the field to the young guy, to the young lion, cheered him on as he made his way onto the field. You can see Fitzpatrick on the sidelines just having a time of his life, just thoroughly enjoying this whole entire thing. So the kid comes out and, he runs about five plays. It's like 2 minutes on the clock or whatever. We see him run a bootleg. We see him, throw a couple of tosses. We see him, kind of run a little bit, we see a little bit. I don't think we saw enough to make any kind of decisions that particular day. And I'm watching this, I'm not thinking that nobody is sitting in the booth like watching, like, oh, wow. We should just go ahead and make a change now. I didn't see that. I saw a little dude out there embracing a moment, having a little bit of fun. It wasn't no passing of the torches or nothing like that. It was just, an old guy giving the young guy a chance to kind of like, do his thing for a minute, kind of showcase his deal. But then that shortly after the game, a couple hours later, we hear the reports that the Miami Dolphins have named Tua Tagovailoa the starter going forward for no reason whatsoever. It was just they decided to do it. It was just like we're just gonna do it because we feel like doing it. Maybe they see things in practice that we don't see, but from what I know about the game, there's no way he could have been taken first team reps. There's no way, right? Maybe it was, but who knows? We saw Baltimore do this a couple years ago with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, and the same kind of situation kind of happened. But it took more than five plays with 2 minutes and 32 seconds left on the clock. They did this over a couple of weeks, and then finally they started Lamar Jackson over Joe Flacco, and we knew that was the last time we was gonna see Joe in purple or whatever, but this one was strange, like, and nothing against the kid, I just felt like this is a little too early to do this, and I feel like this completely kills the morale in the locker room. Everybody was rallying around Fitzpatrick. Like I said, he was a nice motivator on the team. he hadn't made any, you know, any mistakes, you know, yet. Now we know the Fitzpatrick story, and we know that it wasn't going to last forever. You know, eventually the Fitz magic was going to run out. And, you know, and then it would have been time to make a change. Now, like I had said on this, on the live show last night, I was looking at this as Fitzpatrick's swan song. I thought maybe they would make a playoff run because of there's no longer the Brady Belichick domination in the AFC East anymore. Even though Buffalo is a rising power there, but you know, basically with Brady gone, the Patriots have become normal. You know, they are beatable now. You know, they're not like they were before. So anybody has a chance, you know what I mean? And I felt like, oh wow, this might be a good opportunity for Fitzpatrick to ride off into the sunset, maybe secure his, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, legacy or whatever. And I know, you know, people listen to me talking about Hall of Fame, Ryan Fitzpatrick, but for a dude that played on as many teams as he's played on and has delivered a career the way he's delivered it, I believe that he's a Hall of Famer. Maybe not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he is a Hall of Famer, I believe. But, you know, this would have been a way to cement that, but it's been, you know, stifled and cut short. The sad part about it is that I think the locker room is going to react to it a weird way because they were so used to having one guy, and now they got to get behind this young guy. And how much pressure does that put on this young guy that now he has to be the leader of this team or whatever the case may be? You know, and, you know, after this bye week that they go on, they will be facing the Los Angeles Rams with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and all of that mess, right? So I don't know if I would have done it. I would have waited like later on in the season to do it, you know, and I think it would have been a bigger moment if they had did it the right way. But you know, we may be this decision may impact two careers. It may, and you know, maybe this may be the last time we see Ryan Fitzpatrick. And and are we setting our young guy Tua for failure? So it's a pretty rough situation, man. It really is. But I hope everything turned out okay. We'll be tuned in. Well, we won't see Tua play this week, but we'll get to see him play next week. So it is what it is, right? So with all that news and rumor and stuff out of the way, the only thing I want to say real quick before we move on to our picks, I would invite you guys to do a couple of things for me. I would like you guys to follow me on social media. You know, you can check me out on Twitter at Team Boy TV. I usually am a live tweeter during the football games. I usually do that. You can check me out on Facebook. We have two places on Facebook. You can check me out. You can go to facebook.com/Urban Arena Media. We do a lot of stuff over there with a couple guys that I do collaborations with. The Sage of Sports Glass, he was featured on the Team Boy TV live show on Wednesday nights. And then, of course, there's AA Sports, Uncle Hate, and Diego Baryshnikov that contributes over on that page as well. Also, the facebook.com/TeamBoyTVOfficial page, you can go there as well. I post things on that channel as well. Also, we invite you guys to subscribe to our Team Boy TV YouTube channel. We have one live show that we do every Wednesday night. We have a nice little community there. You guys can come and chime in, join our conversation. It gets a little rowdy over there sometimes. But there's the Raven Shogun JB is there with me, and also Glass, the Sage of Sports, has joined me on that show as well. Also, you can you know, subscribe to us to the podcast here on all the podcast platforms, Apple and Spotify and Google and Pocket Cast and Stitcher and all that stuff, you know, so you guys can do that. And what would really help me out with my growth on the podcast is if you guys could not only like and follow the podcast, but also leave little reviews. Let me know what you guys think, you know, what I can do to improve, or what you guys thought was dope, or, you know, anything like that. Any kind of review would be nice. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely appreciate you guys doing all that stuff for us. Also, you can also check out some of my homies on podcast as well. Glass of Sage of Sports has the Sage of Sports podcast, also on the same platforms. And Idiot Ezra, my homie Ezra, you know, has podcast there too. So you guys can go and check all those out. And that would be, I will be, you know, eternally grateful for that. Now, let's get into these picks for the week. Let's do it. All right, let's go ahead and get this thing popping early. So tonight, Thursday, October, what's today? October 22nd. The week 7 starts off with a divisional matchup between the, you know, fresh off their first win, New York Giants, going to face off against the Philadelphia Eagles. I like, you know, I think the Giants are feeling good right now. The Eagles are, I could say, again, in such disarray. The problem is that the Giants need to figure out, you know, Daniel Jones need to have more confidence in his wide receivers, I believe. I know they have a huge gap that they're missing at the running back position, but those wide receivers and Daniel Jones need to kind of get it together. I like the Giants going for their second win in a row here. Now, I know this is the third week in a row that I picked the Giants. They lost that first game that I picked them against the Cowboys, but they did win last week, and they got, you know, this game. I like them against the Eagles here. So we move along, right? We have my Carolina Panthers going into New Orleans to face off against the Saints. Listen, the Saints have been doing their thing. There's a few chinks in the New Orleans armor. I don't think Carolina is talented enough at this stage of the game to take advantage of those said chinks in the armor. Now, if, you know, the Saints mess up too many times, I think Carolina is savvy enough to take advantage of that and maybe squeak out a win. But we have to fix, like, again, we talked about it in depth early in the show. We got to do something about this red zone offense. We got to, and hopefully we'll see something work out in this particular game. But I'm going to choose the New Orleans Saints in this particular matchup. Here's another AFC. So far, this will be our third in a row division game. I think this is division week almost. I don't know. We'll see. Third division game is going to be between the red hot Buffalo Bills and the super sorry New York Jets. This is not the week that the Jets get a win. We will see them go. So right now they're 0-5. I think this week will make them 0-6, or are they 0-6 already? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think they're 0-6 already. But I like the Buffalo Bills in this particular matchup. Our fourth divisional matchup game. You got the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Cincinnati, since they got a new coach and a new quarterback, they kind of, you know, struggle. I, you know, read last week or the week before last, AJ Green was wanting to reassert himself as the dominant wide receiver. I don't know. Now, you know, the Browns are going through some stuff. We talked about in the story earlier about the Browns and how Mayfield and Beckham kind of feel a certain type of way about themselves. They look at this game as a straighten them out, get right game. I believe the Cleveland Browns will get it right in this particular one. It's a divisional matchup. They need this win. They'll get the dub here. The Dallas Cowboys go up to face off against the Washington football team. Dallas Cowboys look horrendous on every facet of the game. The Washington team is not that much better, but they're a little bit better. And I think the Washington football team gets the dub in this particular matchup here. We have the Green Bay Packers, who suffered a terrible loss against Tom Brady and the Bucks last week. They're going to face off against these Houston Texans. I believe that the Packers will go back, will get back into form in this game. They bounce back. I don't see them losing two games in a row, especially to a team who's only won one game so far this season. And I know that the Texans are a very talented team. I just don't think they have enough to slow down the Green Bay Packers. Deshaun Watson gonna be a problem. The Texans defense, look, they're gonna rise to the occasion. They saw what the Bucks defense did to Aaron Rodgers last week. They're gonna be looking to replicate it. Hopefully the Packers have found a way to fix that problem. You know, hopefully they studied a lot of tape this week, right? The Lions face off against the Atlanta Falcons. They're coming off their first win. It was going to be a short-lived celebration. The Lions, I don't think, are very good. They think they are last in their division, if I'm not mistaken. And I think the Falcons are last in their division as well. But I think the Lions they got a better coach. They got a better scheme. I like the Detroit Lions in this particular matchup. This is the big game. This is the one everybody want to see, and it's going to be at 1:00 on Sunday. The Steelers facing off against the Tennessee Titans. This is the game that's supposed to be played in week 2, and due to COVID, the COVID breakout in Tennessee, the game was shut down and moved here to this week. The Steelers, you know, looking great. The Titans looking great. This is the game that's gonna, you know, let us know what the later on was that I was talking about was gonna be setting up for the playoffs later on down the line. And I think that, you know, this is gonna be a very good game. And I believe that the Titans are gonna figure out a way to slow this game down to a complete crawl and win the game, right? Just keep you know, Ben and those wide receivers off the field, and you know, use Derrick Henry to slow it down, and you win. It's gonna be a low scoring affair, I believe. You know, maybe combined score of about 35, maybe, you know, 42 at the most, right? And I like this next division matchup out west, NFC West matchup between the red hot, like Seattle Seahawks are just the number one team right now. They have not really shown a whole lot of you know, slowing down or any kind of chinks in their armor. But you know, the young Cardinals team is coming around, and they had a nice performance last week, even though it was against one of the lower tier teams of the league. They will get humbled in this particular matchup. I think the Seahawks will show them what time it is. But, you know, the Cardinals got moxie, and they won't lay down easy. And it's going to be an interesting matchup. I like the Seahawks in this particular matchup. There also is going to be a divisional matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs going to Mile High to face off against the Broncos, which is usually a pretty good, this game is usually pretty good, right? And that kind of thing. But, you know, this Broncos team, it ain't the Broncos team from 3-4 years ago. And this Chiefs team has not been playing well. And I think they've made the proper adjustments to, rectify a lot of, you know, the play that they had over the last few weeks. I like the Chiefs in this particular one. Jags and Chargers, I think, the Chargers, the bright spot is that they got this young quarterback. You know, another thing is Tyrod Taylor has been cleared to play, coming off the chest injury that made him miss about 3 or 4 weeks. The question is, do they go back to Tyrod Taylor, or do they stay with Herbert, the young guy who's been keeping them kind of alive a little bit? But the Jags may be coming to hunt, but they're not having a good go of it. You know, I like the Chargers in this one. I think the Chargers at home, I like the Chargers in this one. I think, you know, no matter which way they go at quarterback, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to stay with the young guy, going to stay with the high hand. Unless something crazy happens, we won't see Tyrod Taylor. So I like the Chargers in this one. 49ers Patriots. This is an interesting matchup right here. It's interesting in the fact that, you know, the quarterback play in San Francisco ain't been up to par lately. They still have a pretty decent defense that is worthy of, you know, kind of paying attention to. But the Patriots do too, right? But the Patriots are not scoring a whole lot of points like we used to seeing them score and that kind of thing. So this one's going to be interesting. If the 49ers can run the ball, well, you know, the Patriots like to run the ball too. This one would be interesting. And they're playing in New England. You know, I might have to go with the Patriots here. I think in a close one, the Patriots pull it out. It's going to be a close one, though. We have this one here, Sunday. Bucks go out to the Black Hole to face off against the Las Vegas Raiders. And this one's interesting. We saw the Raiders knock off the arguably one of the best teams in the NFL in the Kansas City Chiefs. And so can they make it and knock off another one of the proclaimed better teams in the NFL and knock off Tom Brady and the Buccaneers? I like the fact that they're at home, and I kind of like their scheme, but the Tampa Bay defense have earned my respect. So I am going to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? And for our last game of the week, which is a good one, the Chicago Bears, who are doing pretty good, 5-1 as a record that I wouldn't expect them to have right now, but they have it. And they're facing off against the Rams, who have been, you know, lukewarm to high. They've quietly been kind of keeping their head above water in the NFC West. So they've been doing all right, you know what I mean? But facing off against the Bears, the Bears defense is still pretty formidable, and they have Nick Foles at the controls, and I always like seeing Nick Foles at the controls, right? So, you know, I think I like Chicago in this particular one. Those are my picks for this week, for week 7. You know, I definitely want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to me this week. And also for everybody who came in and supported the live stream last night, and you guys continue to support the live streams. I definitely appreciate the love, you know, and my homies do too. Definitely appreciate that. The support that you guys have been showing has been great. Also, I left a lot of links in the show notes of the podcast this week, so you guys can actually support the podcast in a couple of different ways. And click those links and let me know if you guys want to support me there. You kind of help me grow the podcast. I definitely appreciate it. Until next week, I'm your boy Big Q. This has been Sunday's Best, you know, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. I will see you guys, Lord willing, next week. Y'all take it easy. Peace.